Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Welcome to the worst year ever.
Ooh.
Yeah, motherfuckers.
It's the first of the year, and
welcome
we are
to the
celebrating
first year ever.
Guys, do you have calendars?
This is the podcast where we believe that time started less than a year ago, and everything before is a hallucination created by the Illuminati.
Well, you don't know that's not true.
Nothing has ever happened before this moment, and
nothing will happen beyond it.
That's right. This is
sounds
all
like
of existence condensed into a podcast.
Except for the podcasting, which will continue.
Cody, I watched Peacemaker.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, have you? Wait, that was.
I've seen it.
I have not seen Peacemaker.
I have watched Peacemaker.
I was all about that Sky High shit.
It was pretty good.
Oh, boy, guys. I just have to say, before we even dive down this path of talking about it, a number of our wonderful, beloved listeners have reached out to me to say thank you, Katie. Thank you for your recommendation of Patriot.
Oh, okay.
And these motherfucking boys that I work with.
Not yet.
That I work with will not respect or listen to my suggestion.
Peacemaker is fun. Peacemaker counts.
Peacemaker is fun.
It's pretty good.
How did you enjoy it?
I really like John Cena.
I do too.
I like John Cena a lot. I think he's charming, and I'm continually surprised at how talented he is. For example, there's a scene, a very emotional scene where he plays the piano, and I looked it up normally, and that's actually him. He's just like a concert level piano.
I was watching my first when that scene started. I was like, no way, that's him playing. They got a body double that knows how to play.
Absolutely, John Cena.
But then there's a shot that James Gunn was like, we're going to need a shot that like clearly shows it's John Cena that's playing. So they do like his face panning down to his hands. And I was like, I'll be damned.
That's fucking dope.
Awesome.
He also speaks fluent Mandarin.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
He's really good in this show. He's a wonderful actor. And I was not familiar before this. I had a lot of fun watching this.
Whole cast was great.
Good series.
I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Robert had this exact conversation for like a half hour with
David Bell.
Yesterday.
With David Bell?
Yeah.
Oh, he was on Bastards, right?
Yeah,
he was. He was. This is just a podcast where I talk to my friends about things I've said to my other friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I
about shows that you are also recommending.
Because the world's doing fine.
Yeah.
We're not needed to cover anything.
It's like our work work here is done.
Good.
We might
let me Google. Oh, okay, yeah. Small yield nuclear weapons could make nuclear war more accessible than ever. That seems fine. All right.
Oh, you saw that really good article.
Yeah, it seems good. Seems fine.
Yeah,
seems fine.
Good.
That's not really even worth covering in any detail.
We need our entertainment. I do have an awareness now that my attention span is all over the place, and it's hard for me to zone out being alone. I've probably said this on the show. So I give myself permission to take 2 days with an episode of a show if it's like a longer episode, you know, like don't give up. Just do it in pieces if your attention is split. But yeah,
just don't think too much about things or do things or believe things.
Yeah.
Just don't.
I recommend not caring.
Yeah, one day the less destructive nuclear arms will consume us all.
Thank God.
I have to say that this is at odds with everything we talked about last week on Even More News, our other show, where we went deep with Danny Fernandez on white nihilism and the importance of not saying there's nothing,
but,
you know.
It's not white nihilism to say everything seems fine. Seems like we're doing solid.
Right.
Seems like a
good
time.
This is the joke version of
it. Blind positivity. Yeah.
Yeah.
How y'all doing?
I think I'm terrible in most ways, but all of the sheep on our little farm just had babies. So there's four very tiny sheep. I got to see them when they were like 2 hours
that's
old.
Cute as hell.
No,
it's so cute because I went out and fed them, and then I came out a couple hours later and there were babies. So I knew they had to be like maybe 2-3 hours old, and they're just already up and doing sheep stuff, like fine, living life, vibing. Doing all of the things they will do as adults.
They're already walking around. Sheeps come out walking.
They come out ready to go. They're just frolicking.
I guess you don't say
sheeps. Right away.
It's just
sheep. Lambs, baby, little baby lambs. One of them's a ram. He's got little bitty aww, prongs on his head. Yeah. Their
how
daddy
small are they?
Is, they're like, I mean, they're about the size of a cat, like a medium-sized cat. They're not big. They're a little taller than cats, obviously, because they're sheep, but they're about the mass of a cat.
Man, birthing a sheep's got to be brutal.
Oh, you don't have to do any of that shit. Their moms take care of it.
Well, that's what I mean. I'm for the mom.
Yeah.
Not you.
Yeah. They seem to be doing just fine. And their dad is very proud of the fact that he made a bunch of little baby lambs. Mm-hmm. He kept trying to headbutt us when we picked him up to cut their umbilical cords off. But aww, I just had to grab onto his horns and then it was fine.
Protective.
Well, yeah.
What loyalty. I love him.
Mm-hmm. They're going to give their kids complex.
Yeah. He liked it when you scratch him behind his neck, he wiggles his entire back end like a dog. It's very mm-hmm. cute. He's a good boy.
I wish we could spend the whole hour talking about this.
Talking just about mammal shit.
Pretty
you know?
Good ram.
Yeah. Just mammal yeah. stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, how's that for positivity?
That's good.
I would say that.
Yeah.
Is a show. Mm-hmm. Bye, everybody.
That's a sode. We're done.
Great episode today. I feel wonderful.
Have a good
Welcome
one.
Welcome to The Worst Year Ever, a podcast where I update you about the tiny farm that I live on.
I
my
mean,
chickens are fat.
That sounds lovely, though.
Mm-hmm. It does.
I think we all want to live vicariously through you. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's maybe not.
There's problems.
The best
the
for
farm.
An audio medium. Yeah.
Too many eggs. Way too many eggs. I don't
too
know
many eggs. You can't eat
eggs.
All those eggs.
It's impossible to.
Give them away.
I'll get like 60, 70
away.
Eggs in a week. That's what we got to do. That's what we got to do.
You got to start doing some baking and freezing
I give away
that
a lot
baking.
Of eggs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Freeze them, pickle them, do what mm-hmm. you can. Anyway,
awesome.
What's the news? How are we doing?
Oh,
fuck,
good.
I don't want to talk about
and
the news.
And great.
Mm-hmm.
End of.
More
section
news
yeah I don't know with the Supreme Court
yeah that's what we're talking about
looking for a new member yeah they're doing
maybe
confirmation
two.
Hearings today yeah.
maybe two that's the only thing
maybe two
what's the deer deal with Clarence
he's sick with something he'll probably be fine
some infection
he'll be fine, he'll be
he
fine
sucks,
this time
so he'll probably
then,
be fine
yeah he'll definitely be fine
yeah
but
it'd be pretty cool if he died, though.
It'd be neat.
But he'd have to die right now. Otherwise, it'll be pretty frustrating if he mm-hmm. died, like, after the midterms, and we are incapable of confirming anybody.
I would just like him to get hit by a bus on his way out of the hospital.
It'd be nice. Mm-hmm. Him and his wife.
Yeah.
Damn.
Sure. Absolutely. That sounds fine.
I said it with a smile.
She did say it with a smile.
Yeah.
It didn't feel right, though.
I'm fine with it. I have gotten over the hump of wishing death upon people.
Who else do we want
wish
hit by
death
buses?
Upon people
I just,
I
guess
about.
I don't necessarily want them to be hit by a bus. I'd rather.
Well, I happen to support public transit, Katie.
Mm. Well.
yeah. What do you want? You want them to get hit by a Tesla in a mm-hmm. tunnel? Huh?
I don't want them to die in some way that's incredibly tragic and everybody's like, you know, these people are wonderful. I'd rather to continue to besmirch their name, I guess. But I don't want him to be serving. I want him to die. I don't need Ginny to. She can be around to like be a ghoul and whatever.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the ideal death for a bad person is like autoerotic asphyxiation. But how often does that get to happen?
Very rarely.
Yeah.
Well, I've got one in mind, but...
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but
beyond that,
confirmations. Yeah, so, I think it's only happened once. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and to Quentin Tarantino in 11 years.
Mm-hmm. his strangled by a foot-shaped rope.
Robert,
what?
That's funny.
Trust your feelings. You know it to be true.
Yeah.
I mean, normally I don't like when you predict things, but...
He'll do his Star Trek and then he'll be...
I'm not saying I won it. I have nothing against Quentin Tarantino. It just seems plausible.
Anyway, we've got a Supreme Court
I guess
nominee
so.
Hearing.
In theory, yeah. They're doing it today. They did a little bit yesterday. It's very...
Gonna do more tomorrow.
Good and exciting. They're doing a great job. I shout out to Lindsey Graham, shout out to Marsha Blackburn, shout out to Josh Hawley, shout out to friend of the show, Ted
Why are
Cruz,
you shouting them out?
Who's also they're just doing a really good job question.
Tell us how they're doing a good job.
They're talking a lot about critical race theory.
And
children's books.
Nice.
Because what else are you going to talk about?
The law? That's really important for us to talk about during this limited period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a really funny Lindsey Graham quote about this. Not about this, but like basically saying people are going to call us racist during this, Republicans.
Uh-huh.
And that's not going to fly with us because we're used to it by now. And I just think that's like really funny. Like, I know what he meant. He's like, falsely accused of racism. We're used to that. But like just saying like we're used to being called racist all the time is
it's very funny.
Yeah. Well,
cell phone, cell phone.
Yeah.
Cell phone.
Mm. It's a fun time talking about critical race theory. But first, we're going to talk about George W. Bush, alleged war criminal.
Alleged.
Alleged war criminal.
Alleged.
Who today with
isn't war criminal former... a funny term? Sorry, just the fact, like, sure, Putin, yeah, okay, war criminal, but like, war is criminal. That's my point.
Wow,
go ahead, Cody.
No, let's
wow,
like,
let's
wow about that for a little bit.
Let it simmer and hit y'all.
War is the crime. He's with alleged war criminal George W. Bush, with alleged war criminal Bill Clinton, I guess. All presidents are war criminals.
Yeah, I mean, they all do something. He
blew
up that aspirin factory.
Yeah. And also alleged rapist
criminal.
Bill Clinton.
Yes, definitely alleged rapist.
Yeah. Criminals George W. Bush and Bill Clinton.
Yeah, let's go with criminals.
That's easiest way forward. Yeah.
They went to Chicago's Ukrainian village, and they're doing, they're like laying flowers in solidarity with Ukraine.
Fine, whatever.
Fine, whatever.
It's ex-president shit. Like,
ex-president stuff.
They all
supporting, countries
like
being invaded. Mm-hmm. One might say the opposite of what they did when they were president, but whatever. So George W. Bush was brought up today, and I think this is really interesting how these senators are, particularly the Republican senators, handle this and like frame stuff and ask about stuff and try to get their little soundbite and their little moment. John Cornyn was asking today about George W. Bush. And first of all, we didn't even say her name. Ketanji Brown Jackson is the nominee for the Supreme Court. Incredible that we've made it this far.
What a hack. What a fraud.
Without saying ridiculous.
What an absolute shame.
That's her name. So she was asked about at one point calling George W. Bush a war criminal during her career. And she was very confused by this. She didn't think she ever said it. Which one could argue that it's fine if she said that at one point.
I would argue that for sure.
You could very well argue that. but obviously, if you're in the Senate, the United States, you can't argue that as a senator.
It would be based if you did. But yeah, it's unlikely that people would.
Which is why they wouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Based and Senate pilled. But they're not doing that. What they're asking is accusatorily, you called Bush and Rumsfeld war criminals. You've been so charming and reasonable today, and I'm surprised that you would do such a thing. And so he did his little spiel, and she was like, what are you talking about? And they went on. Then they took like a short recess, and they came back. And Senator Durbin did a brief follow-up.
Dickie
about
D.
This. A little Dickie D down. You get Durbin down.
Yeah.
By the
a deep
dick.
Durbin.
All right. So a deep Durbin happened. And
Ew, come on, guys.
That was good. That was a good one. Come on.
I mean, if it made me go, ew. Yeah, he
that
likes
means
it.
It's good.
You
yeah.
And then you'll be saying that in 5 months after 4 months of complaining. They came back and basically it didn't happen. She was representing an accused terrorist.
Okay.
And like all lawyers, you defend your client.
Sure.
And basically the argument was like this person was tortured and torture is a war crime.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That was the statement.
But they weren't saying.
That was the statement, huh?
Implying,
I mean, it's
like,
so
it was,
disingenuous
like,
the way they extrapolate and twist it. Yeah.
Yeah, ordered and allowed by President Bush and Rumsfeld. But, like, it's not, she's
but
not
she
like.
She didn't say.
Like, yeah, she's not like making these like speeches from the bench, like George Bush, a war criminal. It's like, no, he was tortured. Torture's a war crime. That's
well, everything, yeah. everything that they're doing, they know that she's going to get confirmed. They know. Let's back up here just a little bit and say that Ketanji Brown Jackson is the single most qualified person to be nominated for the Supreme Court, at least if you're looking at it compared to literally everybody else on that fucking bench. She's already been nominated and passed unanimously by the Senate very recently at a lower court, and now there's the opportunity and she's the first choice.
Lindsey Graham voted for her.
They voted for her. So what they're doing right now is digging up anything they can to make a show of it, knowing what is ultimately going to happen. I mean, everything about it is disingenuous. We can look at the different attacks. Like, just looking at her, you can tell that she is a whatever of critical race theory. Fucking racist. How about just the line of questioning about... her going easy on sexual predators when because she has sentenced people below like a lesser point, a lesser sentence. But that's actually turned out to be way more strict and less lenient than many, many, many judges. And there's a conversation apparently that's widely accepted that these sentencing guidelines should be changed, that some people think that they're not appropriate. So actually, if you look at it, they're just scrambling for whatever they can, but framing her in the most disingenuous way.
Well, I'll bet she's harsher on sexual predators than Republicans in Congress were.
I bet they're harsher than, you know, I mean, they're fucking, I'm sorry, but
longest
they work with
house
Matt
has
Gaetz.
Yeah.
Matt Gaetz.
I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, none of this matters. Sex crimes matter, but none of it matters politically, because all that matters is Republicans are going to go after her because she's Biden's nominee. Like,
well,
none of it matters.
And it's, you know, it's, I guess, a window into like just like their future strategy. Interestingly, I don't think anybody brought up that the election was stolen from Donald Trump, which I would expect at least somebody to talk about that because they're all pathetic.
It seems to be what they can't stop talking about it in literally every other arena. So why not now?
Right. But what they're doing, and like you see it elsewhere in other arenas more and more these days. But they're just trying to like frame everybody as like a pedophile and like supporter of like grooming children. That's what they're doing. The line of questioning from Holly about anything about like what like a drag queen story hour, say gay stuff, all this kind of stuff that they like to bring up. It's circling this claim and this like fascist belief about the left, and Republicans are really amping it up. It's going to get worse and bad, I think, but you can kind of see it in this series of events.
Yeah, I love events.
We got to take a quick break, y'all.
I'm not a fan.
I've said
Speaking
y'all
of
twice
breaks,
now on this show.
Yeah.
Today.
Clarence Thomas breaks his neck walking out of the hospital.
There it is.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together.
We're back.
We are back.
We
are
back.
Talking about
something.
The law.
You know what I love about the law?
It never fails.
It never fails to
delight.
Bring justice.
Reinforce
to all.
Longstanding social issues because it exists primarily to maintain systems of inequality.
Curious.
So curious. I guess fine. She seems like a better case scenario than most for Supreme Court justice. That'll be good. I'm sure Republicans will continue being shitty, and there will eventually be some sort of.
Is she sure she wants the job? I mean, she's signing up to be shot down a lot. You know, I'm thinking about it. I'm like, it's grim. You want to be a liberal judge on this court?
I think job for life.
Job security.
That's one way to deal with inflation.
Yeah, you could you could pull a Jeffrey Toobin in the office and not get fired.
You're right.
That's right. That's right.
And I think she should. That's feminism right there.
That's feminism.
I do think it's funny. It is what it is. Basically, like, this is going to happen. It's going to be a big circus and big show for everybody who wants to put on a show. Like, every single one of these fucking things, whether it's a confirmation hearing or the fucking impeachment of a president, whatever. If Manchin says yes, then she'll get it. Like, yeah. It's fine. Yeah. 51 votes is all she needs for this.
Yep.
But I real quick just have to talk about Ted Cruz. Because he was our guest last week, he's our guest next week. So I want to make sure that our listeners can always get a taste of Cruz.
Your daily Ted.
Exactly. Ooh. Your daily Ted.
Boy, on my shoes, daily Ted tends to mean a different thing, but K
not today.
Instead of a
not
C.
today right here.
Yeah. No.
It's for Cruz. It's for Ted Cruz this time. He loves talking about critical race theory in a way that makes it seem like it could mean literally anything. Because it does to them. And he's
things are the same thing.
Yeah, all bad things are the same thing. He's just such a Daily Wire fanboy. It's so funny to watch him try and squirm confidently.
How do you squirm confidently? It's tricky.
He does it. So Ketanji Brown Jackson is on the board of Georgetown Day School.
Great.
And so this gave Ted Cruz an opening to talk about critical race theory.
Jesus.
And he asked her to define it. And she was like, yeah, it's this like school of thought and law. And like, it doesn't really apply to what I do. I don't really use it in my job. But that's what it is. And so he kept going. He took that as a sign to be like, then I should talk more about this.
Yeah.
And so he talked more about it and brought up some books that were assigned at this fucking school. And one of them is a children's cartoon book called Anti-Racist Baby. And it's about teaching your kid to be anti-racist, because the conceit is that kids aren't like born racist. They're taught racism. They're taught to be racist by their environment and society, their family, and all the things that we know about human beings and how they develop their opinions about stuff. So he brings up this fucking book, and I don't know if we can play it, but basically he talks about this book for a little while. It's like, yeah, it says this, and it says that, you know, you have to teach kids to be anti-racist because otherwise they'll be racist. There's no neutrality, which is like, the book isn't saying there's no neutrality. It's saying that kids are taught racism. So he does this for a while, like 4 minutes, about these fucking books.
These fucking books that have nothing to do with being a Supreme Court
justice.
He's just making shit to go on Twitter.
It worked. We're talking about it.
Yeah, of course.
So here's the end of his little spiel.
Are you comfortable with these ideas being taught to children as young as 4 in respect to the first book, as young as 8 and 9?
Fucking
in
hell.
The second book?
Senator, I have not reviewed any of those books, any of those ideas. They don't come up in my work as a judge, which I'm respectfully here to address. My work as a judge,
no need,
which is evidenced from my near decade on the bench.
Okay, good. Then let's go back to your work.
Let her fucking finish.
No. She was done. Christ. She's like incredible. She like said,
got it. What a piece of shit.
Yeah, it's nothing
Cruz.
To do with my job that I've done for a decade.
A
nothing to do with this.
That to me sounded like she was not quite done, but she
was done from what I gathered. And she was basically saying disrespectfully,
it's
actually
just embarrassing and such a waste of time. And you actually have an opportunity to have some interesting conversations and thought provoking conversations. And look, I don't know. I don't remember. I didn't watch Supreme Court justice hearings when I was younger, so I can't compare to how questioning is, but it's just such bullshit. It's such fucking obvious theatrical bullshit of you don't want a real conversation. You don't want to give her an opportunity to show, you know, talk about real issues or have an actual conversation because that might change people's minds about something.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's how I feel.
I mean, it's all, yeah. I mean, it's definitely like reached a fever pitch with all these weirdos, but like, you know, it's not new that these little freaks go up there and do their little dance and try to get their little sound bite and their little show at the expense of
I wonder if they get a real good zinger in, do their Twitter follows go up or something?
It is apologize for the phrase trumped up now. To this point.
He's really ruined that word as a word I feel comfortable using.
RIP euchre players. But it is, I just think it's funny that he spent 5 minutes talking about these books that have nothing to do with being Supreme Court Justice. And she basically responded respectfully, no, I'm not here to talk about those. That has nothing to do with this. And he was like, oh, okay. Then let's go to your work. Like he knows what he was doing. It didn't work. She said, you're being an idiot right now.
Yeah.
And he moved on.
Kindly.
She kindly said that.
Can I play an interaction between her and Lindsey Graham where he was also wasting everybody's time?
I love interactions where senators waste time.
And being an asshole, dumb motherfucker. Okay. Let me get this clip for you guys.
Yeah, give me it all.
What faith are you, by the way?
Senator, I am Protestant.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Non-denominational.
Okay. Could you fairly judge a Catholic?
Senator, I...
What? What
kind of question is that?
I think the answer would be yes.
Judging everyone.
What?
I'm just asking this question because...
Because you're an asshole.
Is your faith to you?
Senator, personally... my faith is very important, but as you know, there's no religious test in the Constitution under Article 6.
Oh, God. Lindsey.
God Lindsey. Damn it.
It's just,
I was going to say before we played this that we should let Supreme Court candidates hit one person with a brick during their confirmation hearings, but that's not going to be enough bricks.
It's not enough.
You it's not going to be enough.
Yeah,
but she
you're really
gives
lowballing
a
it.
Good death glare, though. Not death glare, but she's got like, while keeping her voice calm, her eyes say,
well, she knows.
Are you fucking me?
She knows what she was stepping into. Like,
yes, she did.
You know,
she
it's
was
not
prepared.
Her first day. She knows who the
it's
GOP
not her first
is.
Rodeo.
She knows what the Senate is in general.
What kind of question is, could you fairly judge a Catholic?
Well, I mean,
again,
he knows
he
what he's doing.
Voted for
he
her.
Now,
I
gonna,
confirmed
look,
her months ago as a judge.
I'm just going to say right now, I could not fairly judge a Catholic because as a papist, they cannot be trusted to fairly apply the law. They're always going to be a servant of the Vatican, just like John Fitzgerald Kennedy, which is why Bernard Sanders had to shoot him.
Robert. You're letting Trump it. You're hands. Letting it all out of the bag. You're let. You're.
I
like,
would have been
now
like.
Now they know.
We'll return to that later.
I would have been like, yeah, I judge them all the time. I think it's fair.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a better joke in there.
I mean, she did a great job with all of these freaks.
These papists.
We got more. Should we take another ad break
here? Yeah. Let's take an ad break here.
Welcome to the worst year ever. Together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
We're back.
What's
We're
me
back.
And my Mars?
Irma.
That works. That's grammatically
both,
correct.
Both are fine. Both are fine. yeah, the United States, the Biden administration, I should say, has declared what the government of the military junta in particular, well, not just the military junta, because it was actually done under... Yeah. The president who was recently deposed by the military as well, Aung San Suu Kyi. Yeah. But yeah, the Biden administration has declared what the military and government of Myanmar did against the Rohingya, the ethnic cleansing, which took place over about several years up until the present point as a genocide.
Five years. About 5 years.
Good.
It is good. How come it took so long, Robert?
Well, you know, in U.S. recognizing a genocide terms, this was not a bad turnaround. Because you have to
maybe
remember,
not, but it's really
it,
hard
was,
to
it
look.
It was a year ago that Biden recognized the Armenian genocide from 110 years ago.
I do remember that. I do remember that. And so yeah. That's a point well taken. But I, along with a lot of our listeners, I think have been horrified by this.
Yeah.
A lot of things that happen around the world. And it is especially frustrating, while good as this is, it is especially frustrating to see the swiftness of our response to what's happening in Ukraine and the attention of the world. And this has been happening for 5 years, you know, the war in Tigray. Like, it's just, anyway.
Well, good, part of why you're not going to see nearly as much movement on, part of why I suspect the Biden administration was made this decision now after 5 years is because what's happening in Myanmar is connected to what's happening in Ukraine, because the Tatmadaw, the military of Myanmar, the junta, are armed by the Russians. They're using Russian planes and not Russian small arms. They actually have a pretty significant indigenous small arms industry that the military does, but they're using a lot of Russian artillery and aircraft in order to crack down on the rebels in the civil war. And they were using it before in the genocide, whereas what's happened in Armenia recently, the war Azerbaijan carried out, which has genocidal elements, what's happening in Tigray, and what's happening between the Turks and the Kurds in southern Turkey and in northeast Syria, those all have genocidal elements as well. But in all of those cases, either the Turkish nation, which is the second largest military in NATO, is directly involved, as they are in the genocide in or the ethnic cleansings, at least in Azerbaijan, and the genocidal acts against the Kurds, or in the case of Tigray, Turkey is heavily arming the Ethiopian government. And in fact, the rebels in Tigray were pretty close to taking the capital before the same Bayraktar drones that people are celebrating in Ukraine were sent by Turkey to the Ethiopian government, which allowed them to turn back the advance of the rebels. So part of why you're seeing this recognized now is that the U.S. government's interests are in doing so, as opposed to recognizing that there are genocides that our ally Turkey is involved in, less in
that
U.S.
are less,
interests.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Disappointingly, but makes sense. So I know that you guys have been talking or have covered the civil war and what's happening over there a lot on It Could Happen Here. But
it could.
why don't, for our listeners that maybe don't know what's happening over there, Aung San Suu Kyi was elected in a landslide last year in 2021, reelected, and then immediately the military staged a coup and overthrew her and has imprisoned her under a variety of charges. She's 76. I think she's currently facing 6 years or 8 years in prison, and is another charge on top of that, all about, like, I don't know what it was, staplers or something, like something.
Yeah, there's like COVID protocols being breached, they allege. And there were a number of things they claimed. Yeah.
And since then, you know, it started with a huge national strike that, you know, and everybody was engaged in watching for a while. But then, you know, attention, of course, peters off on the national stage. Robert, can you fill us in a little bit on the stuff that's been going on?
Short of it is, there were a bunch of protests. The government responded eventually to those protests by just shooting a lot of people to death with live ammunition, both the military and the police doing that. And so a bunch of folks were like, well, I guess let's go to the jungles. A sizable chunk of what is referred to as Myanmar as like a state is actually not under the control of the government and hasn't been for a while. It's under the control of like the ethnic armed organizations is one of the terms you'll see for them. And they're different kind of tribal groups that have a large degree of autonomy. I think the biggest being the Karen. And they have been, in some cases, fighting like an insurgency against the government, in all cases, kind of uneasily preserving their autonomy. And it's a complicated story. But a lot of these rebels, when the military junta took power, like fled to these areas and were trained by these indigenous armed organizations and are now and have been ever since over the last year or so fighting a civil war against the military of Myanmar, the Tat Madaw. And that is ongoing to this day. And so large chunks of the rural areas are, if not in control of rebels or EAOs, out of the control of the state. But the state, and when we say the state in Myanmar, we're referring to the military, does control the cities, or at least the bulk of the cities. You know, there's areas and whatever. It's a pretty complicated conflict. It does not get a lot of attention in the United States. If you'd like more to know more about that, I would recommend checking out the 4-part series we did on It Could Happen Here about the war in Myanmar. There's a lot that's quite interesting about what's going on there, including the prevalence of Generation Z militias, which is how they refer to them, which is kind of made up of these kids who were the first generation in Myanmar to have internet access and who grew up with a great degree of freedom and feeling connected to the international community. And then, rebelled when the government was like, well, that's all going to end. We're not willing to accept that. And who have been experimenting with a lot of really different kind of horizontal organizational structures in opposition both to the government and also kind of counter to how a lot of these EAOs handle things, which are more kind of traditional insurgent military structures. And there's also a lot of like homemade weapons, including 3D printed arms that are increasingly becoming like a factor on the battlefield. It's an interesting conflict and one that doesn't get a lot of attention, in part because, you know, it's Southeast Asia, in part because most people have not heard much about Myanmar. It was not a country up until pretty recently that was very connected globally to the rest of the world. You know, again, for most of its history, it's been like a series of dictatorships. For most of its modern history, because it was also like a British colony. And in fact, George Orwell was actually a policeman in Burma.
Really?
Like, yes, that was one of a kind of foundational experience for him, was like helping to brutally apply British rule in this colony and then having feelings about it.
Yeah. And then there's a whole conversation, of course, about the white colonizers and how that has affected how the country grew.
It's very complicated. Yes. Yeah.
What does the United States, Joe Biden declaring this a genocide, what does that do?
I mean, it's good.
Other than publicly acknowledging, recognizing it. Does it?
That's all it's doing at this point. There's unless the thing that the Biden administration could do is provide the rebels in Myanmar with some of the same equipment we're providing Ukraine. Primarily, there's a lot of talk of no-fly zones and, you know, usually, again, we've chatted about this a bit on our shows. Usually when people talk about those, they are referring to like the idea of sending in U.S. or NATO aircraft to stop other aircraft from acting in an area. But one way you can apply a no-fly zone without doing that is by shipping a lot of anti-aircraft weapons.
Which is what we're doing now in Ukraine, right?
What we're doing in Ukraine. And, you know, James Stout and I, when we were working on our story in Myanmar, were in pretty regular contact with a 23-year-old kid, Zaw Lin, who was a member of a militia generation, one of the Gen Z militias in Myanmar. And so we would chat with him, and then we would see footage of him fighting the Tat Madaw and footage of him hanging out with his girlfriend who was wounded by a mortar, like while we were chatting with him. And then a couple of days after we started dropping the episodes, he got killed by an airstrike. And it's one of those things where the government has air supremacy because the rebels, you know, again, they're like cobbling together their own rifles. They certainly don't have aircraft. So if you want to say like, what could the U.S. be doing? There's an argument to be made for providing anti-air weapons to the rebels. But if we're not going to do that, then effectively the only real impact this has is
to acknowledge it.
Well, at least we're acknowledging it's a genocide. So right now, what is the impact this is going to have on the war in Myanmar? Nothing. That's the short answer. It's not going to do anything. That said, I'm always supportive of the United States being like, hey, look, a genocide. That's a genocide. It's like, it's good to recognize it. Like we have the most we can all argue about like what is reasonable and what is ethical when it comes to like providing weapons. You know, those are complicated discussions to be had. But the minimum everyone should do when there's a genocide is be like, well, that looks like a genocide.
That's what it is.
That's definitely a genocide.
We should at least be able to agree on that.
Yeah. So I don't think it's bad. I would go so far to say it's good that the Biden administration recognized it as a genocide. But yeah. I don't think at the moment I've seen no evidence that Biden administration is going to take any actions that will materially affect circumstances on the ground in Myanmar.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for that.
Speaking of war, you know what else is a war?
What?
Ending a podcast episode.
Yeah, I can be.
Pew, 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 pew.
That makes
it's dangerous.
Us the greatest heroes of all.
Or criminals. Mm-hmm.
Or criminals, yeah. It is also
that's war.
An active genocide against
guys,
that episode of the podcast.
Not sure if you remember, but war is criminal.
Yeah, it's true. Sometimes. Think about that.
I'm sure our listeners are thrilled with this episode.
Yep, it seems like we really have it together. I'm proud of us.
I'm proud of us.
Devil's advocate.
Yeah?
I don't think we do.
Yeah.
Oof. Wow. Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the
voting
devil,
Cody off.
You know who needs an advocate?
Who?
The devil.
Satan.
The devil. The devil. I was right there in the setup, and
cancel
I
culture
it.
Comes for the prince of lies.
Oh God, is he gonna? Are they gonna ask about cancel culture?
The devil's triggered.
Oh, I forget. It's so good. It's so good. You loved it. You love to see it.
You love to see it, guys. Cool. That's it for us this week. We will be back next week with energy and news.
We will not.
Energetic news.
Just maybe. Like this week and every week before it.
Mm-hmm.
Play us out, Cody.
So.
Beow. Oh, I meant just make vocal sounds, but you can get your actual guitar.
No, that was it. This is my favorite chord.
I tried. Yes. Daniel?
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.